Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM Sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
They say I'm disturbed.
From city to city, an incredible hysterical panic spread.
I think we're getting into a weird area here.
Will you tell these fools I'm not crazy?
This hysteria.
You can't handle the truth.
Brain is gone.
This is Hysteria 51.
We're here.
The truth is out there.
It's alive.
But you won't find it here.
They're coming for you. Look, there comes one of them now.
Welcome in, Hysteria Nation, to a reflective episode, a picturesque episode, if you will, of Hysteria 51. We are looking back because we're kind of off this week, but we had to do a little housekeeping before we start. We're kind of off, so we're looking back at one of the episodes that I asked everyone, what's your favorite? And this is the one that we got told the most. The Solway Firth Spaceman, and I'm not alone here in the lower fourth dimension across the interwebs in parts unknown, Colorado, is my partner in crime, and we'll call you this week, one Mr. David Floor. How are you, sir?
Good, hanging in there.
Now, this is a pre-Davy Fluoride or Florisha or whatever anyone wants to call you this week.
Flores, yeah.
Davy Flores. Were you familiar
Dave
with this
Fedora.
One?
Was I what?
Were you familiar with this story?
No, because when I think of when I hear the name, it reminds me of all these other, I guess British Isles creatures like the Ilkley Moor incident and the Sandown Clown.
Yeah,
that's what pops in my head.
It makes me think of this one I heard recently. People have been seeing out west the Crested Butte Mustache Man.
Yeah.
A lot of people have been seeing that.
I heard he is very haggard looking and very antisocial. It's going to be hard to see.
He looks desperate and defeated. It's
Brent, it's snowing right now.
Oh, are you serious?
I can send you a picture of FaceTime right now. It's the 21st of May.
Oh, my God.
In the year of other people's Lord, 2024, and it is snowing outside my window.
How is Crom treating you these days?
He doesn't give a shit, so normal.
Oh, my Lord. Well, before you have to go out and shovel snow, and before we get to this episode, we do have something that we promised you guys, and that is a Lose Your Own Adventure. So we are figuring out who killed JFK, and it's already told us. You'll never figure that out. But this is the first week that we didn't have a tie. How's that make you feel? It was a landslide.
Oh, that's moving in the right direction.
So the decision was to tell Hoover that you're going to help him. And you're going to help him with Oswald because that seemed like let me see the exact two choices we had. They were, let me clear my throat and get ready here. And God forbid I open the book, I'm clicking internet to see the poll. Because doesn't that just seem like it's a smarter thing here? All right, so the choice was to tell the FBI to go fuck themselves. Tell them that you're going to go to the press. And I said last week, I said, I think one of these is probably not the best choice. And that was the one that you guys picked. So let's see where that leads us this week. We're telling the press. All right, sir, if you will.
I'm sorry, Director Hoover, but I'm calling it your bluff, you reply. The American people deserve the truth. if you don't have the guts to tell it to them, then I'll do it myself. Suit yourself, Hoover says finally and hangs up. Hopping on your bike, you pedal towards the downtown offices of the Dallas Morning News. On the faces of Dallasites you pass... Is that really it?
It's the people of Dallas?
Dallasonians?
Yeah. Dallies.
Dalmatians? You see
Samsonite.
Shock.
Samsonite. We were way grief. Off.
You see shock, grief, and a shared sense of shame. Once you reach the news building, you jump off your bike and storm into the newsroom. The place is abuzz with quick-talking reporters.
Stop the presses!
And clattering typewriters. Chaka, 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 ding! Chaka, chaka. History, however terrible, was just made in Dallas, and this paper has a front row seat. You can hardly wait to share your story. But no sooner have you entered the news floor than you're grabbed by the neck by a security guard who drags you towards the exit. What are you doing? I've got breaking news about the assassination. I've got to talk to someone, you plead. We don't want your kind here, Nancy. Now get out and stay out, he growls as he shoves you out the door. You hit the pavement with a thud. Obviously, Hoover must have contacts at the paper, but you're not giving up so fast. If the morning news won't publish the story, you'll break it yourself in the school paper.
Uh-oh.
After all, your friend Billy Thompson is the editor, and he owes you a favor. You call Billy up and tell him your amazing story. He can hardly believe his ears. What a scoop! This'll be on the front page above the fold, he says excitedly. Write it up this weekend and meet me Monday morning in the journalism room. We can set type on it and have this printing by lunch. Uh-huh. Jesus Christ, for a school paper. They got that kid working, Brent. That is child labor. You sit at the typewriter and bang out your headline. Exclusive. FBI had prior contact with suspected assassin Lee Harvey Oswald. Ding! You spend Saturday working on your story, recreating the interrogation scene you'd witnessed Friday in crisp, vivid detail. But by Sunday morning, the detective inside you is longing to return to headquarters to continue investigating.
You hear a knock at the window. Oh, don't do it. Oh, this is a bad decision, and I'm here to help.
You're a long way from Skateboard Swamp, asshole, you hey, say to the lizard man at the window.
I'm here to help. Oh, where's your mom?
Oh, well, you ask yourself with a chuckle, how much could Dad screw up between now and Monday? As you turn on the TV to check the news, you have your answer. Oswald was gunned down moments ago at the police station by a local nightclub owner named Jack Ruby.
Oh,
you notice, to your shock, he's the very same man you saw shaking hands with Finucci outside the interrogation room. Oswald's murderer was a friend of the Dallas police? You could take a shot at him, so to speak, Finucci had said, but was he really talking to you? Or were the Dallas police letting Ruby know he could kill Oswald with their blessing? And where was the FBI in all this? As the questions flood your mind, the phone rings. It's Billy.
Right.
They killed him! Right on TV! He exclaims. Jeepers! I can't believe it! What do we do?
Zoinks!
What do we do? You replied, not missing a beat. We meet at school tomorrow and break the story of the year! That's your plan, anyway. Monday morning, you arrive at school. You're ready to get to work just as soon as you stop by your locker. But something's wrong. It's been papered over with photos. You grab one. It's a close-up shot of you examining Billy's pellet gun, wound to the butt cheek out at the Packard place. Oh, no. People might think you're a...
Hey there, Inspector Rectum!
Growls a menacing voice from behind. You spin around to see the notorious school bully, Slugs O'Toole, towering
those O'Toole
over
O'Toole kids,
you.
Man.
O'Toole rules. The freckle-faced terror slams you against your locker with one of his massive fists. Over his shoulder, you see Butch, one of his henchmen in the Tiger Gang. He's giving Billy an atomic wedgie. Wait, slugs, I can explain, you stammer, trying to maintain your composure. It's not what it looks like. A crowd has begun to form in the hall, the very same kids who only weeks ago had hailed you as a hero for your detective work on Billy's shooting are now laughing and jeering at you.
Fucking high school kids, I tell you.
This is the circle of life, man.
As they're holding up in the air against the locker, beating the shit out of him.
O'Toole holds you up like Simba. Someone begins to chant, fight, fight, fight. And soon the entire crowd has joined the chorus.
There's two teachers and a janitor. Yeah, five, kick his ass.
I got money on him. Who's got five? Who's got five? There's nothing to explain, detective. Detective. I can see that you cracked the case of Billy's butt wide open. Slug says to howls of laughter. Now I'm going to do the same to your face.
I like butt. From the back of the crowd, oh, I told you, you should have fucking listened to me.
And before you can even get another word out, he throws his first punch, a lightning-fast hook that has you seeing stars, Dallas Stars, who are in the semifinals of the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs.
Only 16 more months.
Again and again, his punches rain down, knocking you to the floor where even more photos have spilled from your locker. Rectums upon butt cheeks fall on your face. Concussions stack on top of each other. Jesus, you start seeing weird things. Worms crawling out of the floor.
Anyway,
behind you, a terrified Billy Thompson is being pounded like a tit mule.
Jesus. Kinky Kelly and the sexy stud. Jesus Christ. This. I'll tell you who.
Goddamn sex. Watching the chaos just yards away is your old rival, Jenny Mudd, her ever trusty camera around her neck.
Oh, Jenny.
She's on the take from the Hoover Boys. Yeah. She took those misleading photos. There's no doubt about it. But why? Was she just trying to put your rival agency out of work? Why are these kids in corporations in high school? Like, was she really working for the FBI all along? Or both?
Ooh.
You have a lot of time to ponder that, seeing that you'll be in traction for a year. The doctors say there's even a chance you might walk again, if you're lucky. You lose.
We got about, what was that, about 6 pages of reading before we lost. When in doubt, if you ever get the chance,
Classic. Go
against, hey, high school kid, tell the director of the FBI to go fuck off or help him out. I say help him out.
Yes, and.
So, you know what, we're going to back up next week because that was a quick loss. We'll go to the other option and see where that takes us because
here's how it could have ended.
Yeah, that butt pounder got his butt pounded. So
he was just he was beating us to put us in the hospital because we had pictures of looking at a bullet wound on a butt.
Made it sound like he was framed. You know, like you did it, you know, because she had photos of you inspecting said rectum. And then he damn near killed him. You guys are in for it every time here on Hysteria. I'm so sorry. Anyway, we are going to leave you adieu with a new stuff now. And we're hitting you with a oldie but a goodie. And it comes from the 1960s, as you'll learn if you listen to the whole episode. I got a little wild on this one. The Solway Firth Spaceman returns right after this on Hysteria 51.
Hola, David. Me amo Brent.
Bonjour, Brent. Je m'appelle David.
You didn't do Spanish. I thought if we were going to do this together, we'd do the same language.
Oh, sorry.
That's on brand for us.
I just thought romance languages was the key.
Everything I say is romantic, and that is thanks to Rosetta Stone.
You guys, we've been touting these things forever. We love Rosetta Stone, and we actually are users. David, you've really been using it even for longer than I. What's your experience been like?
Oh, it's been great. The thing is, you really get to learn how to speak and think in that language with it. So it's very high on pronunciation too. So you can, you know, learn how to speak.
And you know, our show is all about proper pronunciation.
In that pronunciation. Yeah, that's right. But they design it for long-term retention, you know, if you don't get the pronunciation right, you say it until you do. And then, you know, that just seeps into your head.
Well, and that's why, you know, this has been trusted by experts for 30 years, and there's over 25 different languages that you can learn, and people, millions and millions of users use it because, like you said, it does seep in, and you're using it with, you know, you get speech recognition and mm-hmm. it hears you. You get to use like the built-in true accent features that gives you this pronunciation, which is super convenient, and you can do it at your own time. And I don't know if you know this, but I'm all about value, and you get a one-time purchase, 25 languages. If I learned all 25 languages, I'd be so confused. Or really cool. I'd go in and out.
But you'd be real marketable.
But literally, though, this is something that we use, and both of us have given the seal of approval because we want to do this long term, and it's something that it works, you know. And we don't do long term stuff like this. And this is the one that we've chosen, and we love it. So, all you guys got to do, don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now, as we've told you 1,000 times, and it's always now. Right now, get started. For very limited time, Hysteria 51 listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off.
How much?
50%. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off, unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your unnatural life.
Wow.
Redeem, redeem, redeem. How do they do it?
Rachete, you're 50% off. Rachete. Redeem it. 50% off, rosettastone.com/today. Do it today.
Why are so many dogs suffering with health issues? Well, actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. A lot of dogs have the same issues you do, David. That's interesting.
They do. I feel bad for them.
And after doing tons of research, she feels there's only one place we can look to support any dog's health, their food.
So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. It's made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also supports the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes.
That is right, and I've been feeding it to our dogs for months now. It's actually something we use. They love it. They took to it immediately. They get everything they need from it. And David, we sent some to you. You said it tastes pretty good too, didn't you?
Oh, it's a great complete.
Do not eat it. That's not the word to say. No, but it has been great for our dogs, and they are just getting everything they need because we are feeding them the best stuff. David, tell them how they can get this.
Go to badlandsranch.com/hysteria and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular priced order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all of these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/hysteria today.
Welcome in, Hysteria Nation, to the podcast that doesn't do a ton of photo shoots. But when we do, they're in the UK and they generally involve a spaceman. This is Hysteria 51. Broadcasting from the lower fourth dimension, otherwise known as Chicago, we are your hosts and captains on this journey to the stars. I'm John Goforth, and this is Brent Hand.
Thanks, John. I am excited for today's episode. It's all about a single photograph, and I like to think of myself as a bit of a photography buff, if I do say so myself.
As long as we don't have to see a photo of you in the buff, I'm good.
Have to or want to? I mean, maybe we should take a poll. Hysteria Nation.
I mean, you guys do live together. Anyway, that other voice you are hearing is the third host of this show and the only one with a camera actually built into his body. Ugh. Which I got to say, I mean, you know, as far as upgrades go, I'm a little jealous of. He is the one, the only conspiracy bot.
Jealousy is understandable in any context when you speak to me. Would you like to kiss my pincer?
No, no, nobody wants to kiss any part of you. See, I built C-Bound in my lab to help write and produce the show, and instead he drinks all day and occasionally takes nude photos of himself as a robot. However, that
works. And I say, by the way, I say I'm jealous. Like, I'm talking about, like, you know, the future where we all get augmentation of some type, like the $6 million man, but, you know, real.
I don't want any of his in, like, augmentation. I just want the sound when he did stuff. Brent, what are you doing? I'm peeing, baby.
Don't you every now and then, though, like, forget that you're not on a device and you're like watching a movie just on TV or something, and you're like, can I capture the screen here and search who that actor is? Oh wait, no, these are my eyes. It doesn't work that way.
My wife and I have found the ultimate use for Alexa is, Alexa, how tall is insert person? Like, that is what, for whatever reason, that is the thing that we care about more than anything in the world.
We do the same thing with how old they are.
Yeah, well, that's the next one. That's always the follow-up. Then it always says, would you like to know their worth or their net worth or whatever? And 99% of the time, it's no. But every once in a while, I'd be like, yeah, sure, hit me with it.
Oh, I hate those random questions. It's like, oh, you asked what the ingredients in McDonald's french fries are. Would you like to know the average temperature in the Amazon? What? What the fuck are you talking about? Anyway, all right. You know, here's the thing. We were talking about C-Bot taking nudes of himself. Mm-hmm. I do think that it doesn't actually come across as creepy as it sounds. It would if we did it, but most of the time, folks he DMs those pictures to right back, and they're just curious what's wrong with the 90s computer, you know, the 486, and why there's a toaster on top.
Well, and he did also send his butthole to the entire world at one point in time. So,
yeah. Which again, they no one knew what that was.
Right.
Lies, all lies. The moment I slide on into your DMs is a religious experience.
If by religious you mean they scream, oh God, no, no. Yeah, I suppose. I suppose that's exactly what it means. By the way, where's Kyle, guys? I haven't heard or seen him at all.
You know, I'm not sure. I haven't seen him since we got back from our little trip to the...
cheese muffins.
Ask and you shall receive.
That other robot voice you're hearing, who apparently comes loaded with a laugh track now, is Conspiracy Bot's robot creation slash minion, Kyle.
He also makes a hell of a cup of joe.
That's actually true. But Kyle, where'd the laugh track come from?
What's a laugh track? Track, track, track? Do you mean my friends I take with me? They think I'm so funny. Funny? Looking. Looking funny. Farts are funny. You're a fart smeller. I'm a smart feller.
See, but I feel like you had something to do with this.
We all need friends. I just installed his from bad 90s sitcoms.
That tracks. It does. Anyway, Brent, we're talking about a photograph tonight, so I thought it might be a good time to talk through our favorite photos related to space. When I say favorite, I mean, you know, there's always classic photos that you know, the photos over the ages of, you know, there's the one on Victory Day after World War II of the sailor
kissing the nurse.
Woman. Yeah. Yeah, the nurse and so many other just kind of there's also awful photos like the, you know, the monk that burned himself alive in protest. And but specifically, I'm asking here what your favorite photo is that's kind of come from space.
I'm going to not say one, but just any of all the fake photos of Earth where they show it from space. Because one, we can't go to space. Two, it always shows it as a ball or a globe, which we all know is fake. So they put a lot of, and they're all composites, so they put a lot of of time, effort, and literal man hours into faking those photos. So I got to give some shout outs to those.
That is one of my favorite. That is one of my favorite flat Earth arguments.
Yeah.
You say you talk about they literally say it was photoshopped or CG'd in the 60s. And you say, well, how was that done? And it's just like, well, you
I'll tell you how. Satan. Start saying that, and then they go, you know. So.
But it's also, it's the explanation for everything that we can't understand. It's like, well, the government has technology that is just years ahead of your knowledge.
Well, guess what?
Okay.
Perfect segue right there to my actual favorite, because you said technology and things we just can't understand. I think my favorite space photo is the one where they took the Hubble and they pointed it at the what they thought was the darkest point in space with no light, and they let it sit for I don't know how long. And there's literally like millions of galaxies that they're just like, oh, okay, cool.
Is that different than? No, that is different. Yeah, there's another really famous Hubble photo, the Pillars of God.
Yeah, yeah.
Which was, I think that they like light years big, mm-hmm. and it's like the beginning of a star system forming or something.
I also really like the one that is the Horsehead Nebula. I like that photo.
Oh yeah, 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 yeah. That's a good one.
Is it funny you know what I'm talking about? And these aren't things like you go out; they're just so famous.
I was about to say it's not. I don't think from doing this show for God, what feels like an eternity, but is probably more like 3.5 years. I know of that. I think I just know of that from being.
Yeah,
in, like,
that's what I'm saying. Like, yeah, like
society.
It, mm-hmm, exactly. Do you have one?
Do I have a favorite?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's a little closer to home, still further away from home. I like the man on the moon photo, like just the classic, you can see the
John,
photo taker.
John, that was a smudge. That was just a smudge. And you've ruined enough lives because of it, so everyone's like, what are you talking about? Go watch Rick and Morty, you'll get it. And Mr. Luna was a petter ass. I'm just saying that.
Was a petter ass, he was.
No, sorry, the man on the moon, yeah.
Well, no, they had just gotten to the moon, and, you know, you can see his reflection in the visor of the other guy.
Yeah, mankind. And then they argue over what he said.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's awesome.
I don't know. I just think that photo is so, what's the word I'm looking
fake.
For?
Staged.
Staged. That's the exact word. All right, enough of this crap, Brent. Let's get to the photo of the day. The Solway Firth photograph. The Solway Firth spaceman in a photograph.
Yeah, well, I gotta tell you, man, you were spot on with your last one or your pick, which was the spaceman in a picture, because that's what we're talking about. Like you said, it's got a lot of names.
Hey, you pricks didn't ask me my favorite.
Oh yeah.
Okay, what's your favorite?
The Hindenburg disaster pic.
That's not even in space. It's literally not. I mean, it.
I don't even know why I'm laughing at that.
Close enough, and Meat Sacks died. Win-win.
Is it? I guess enough time has went by that we could just let him say that.
Yeah, I don't. I'm too soon. I don't know. Anyway, unplug him or something.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. All right, so, back to the topic at hand.
Yeah. So we're talking about a spaceman, and every good alien, time traveler, or interdimensional being story starts with a walk. All the good ones, at least.
Or a death. Don't forget stories that begin with a death.
I think I'm going to actually unplug him, like you said.
Literally do it, yeah.
So this week is exciting, John, because we're talking about one of literally the most scrutinized Fortean photos of the last half century. And if you want to look it up, the most common name is the Solway Firth Spaceman. It's also been called the Solway Spaceman, the Cumberland Spaceman, and what the hell is that?
Yes, yeah, I think that's the most common.
It's also part of this week's art for the episode, and if you go to our website, you can look it up, or probably wherever you're listening to this, you can get a pretty good idea of what's going on. But what is it, John?
Yeah, if you're not familiar, it's ostensibly the picture taker's daughter out on a nice walk with the family. She's posing with wildflowers. It's actually sweet, or at least that portion of it is.
It's sweet if you don't look past that.
Don't look past that. Yeah. if you look a little closer, or you actually don't have to look close at all, you'll notice another figure in the background. It's a figure that appears to be, at face value, a spaceman of some type, or at least what we would understand, a humanoid figure in a getup reminiscent of a sci-fi astronaut suit.
Right. Or a realistic astronaut suit. I mean,
well, yeah, yeah, yeah. I guess it was just a little less bulky than what astronaut suits were of the day.
It's pronounced SpaceX, and they wear them less bulky now.
It's true. It's true. And also the figure in the photo, the photographer claims, wasn't there when he took the picture.
Or was invisible. Was invisible, maybe.
No, that's a good point.
Yeah. We'll get there, and we're going to explain all that, but let's first go over the Gophopedia, the backstory on how this happened before we kind of break down what it could or couldn't be and if this is a spaceman or interdimensional traveler or, a smudge on the camera lens like Mr. Morty saw. So,
and don't forget, Gophopedia.com will get you directly to Hysteria51.com still. I know because I just paid the renewal fee.
So this story starts with Jen Templeton, and he's a fireman in Carlisle, England, the year 1964. And if you remember back, the world was in color then. We had made the black and white to color switch by then on Earth. So that was good. And Jim decides to take his family for a walk and test out his new Kodak camera that was also in colors.
He loved the nice bright colors. The greens of summer.
No Kodachrome.
I do find it interesting. This story, if I didn't know better, would feel like a viral marketing campaign for Kodak because, man, no matter what research you do and which story you read, they mention the name Kodak about 1,500 times in each one of them.
And you're going to get to the part where Kodak's like, fuck you, prove us wrong, I'll pay you. Come at me.
Yeah.
Come at me, bro.
Then it turns into a contest. Yeah. And we'll get there.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Let's talk about where they go.
Yeah. So they head over to an area called Berg Marsh and they get to posing. Is that Berg? Is that how you say it?
Yeah. At least I believe it is. Yes.
No, I said Berg Marsh. You guys know that we pronounced stuff like shit. So if we are wrong, you can let us know. But,
British listeners, chime in. I'm sure you will. Yeah. You always do.
And there are three of them going. It's Jim, his 5-year-old daughter, Elizabeth, who is in the foreground of said photo, and his wife, Annie. And once they get to the marsh, Jim notes that there are, as he said, two retirees in their car. And that's not.
I think his exact quote was two pensioners. I guess that's what they call retirees in the UK. And it's important to note that what this is obviously pointing to is who could have been in the shot.
Right.
And what he's saying is a couple old people in their car. That's it. No one else. Yeah,
no one else was there. They were there for a long time. So they knew who was in and out. And, for all of you that are kind of going, what, like Berg Marsh is sort of overlooks the Solway Firth in Cambria. That's where it gets his name. And if you are not from the UK or other areas, a firth is what the British call, I guess you would call it like a fjord or a water inlet. So the Solway Firth is a firth that forms part of the border between England and Scotland. And it's also part of the Irish Sea. And we would call those like inlets here. Is that what we would call it?
It's kind of like one of those. It's one of those colloquialisms that we probably would call it something different in different parts of the States as well.
Yeah.
Just like, it's
not
like
a sound. It's not a, it's not a river.
Yeah.
The
closest thing I could in research was a fjord.
Yeah.
That's what everyone seems to agree. So it's like a fjord.
Yeah. Well, it reminds me a lot of Hjörgen Kjörgen from the Fjörgen Fjord outside of Mjörgen. Thank you. What was that? We're not worthy. We're not worthy. Bill and her.
Wayne's World?
Wayne's World. God! I took my dum-dum pills this morning. I just lost my Chicago street cred from.
Seriously. Never step foot in Aurora again.
Right? No shit. Anyway, now they kind of get an idea of the setting.
Know where we are. And Jim and his family are having a lovely day on the marsh when Jim suggests to his daughter that she gather up some wildflowers and pose for a few pictures so he can test out that new Kodak.
Why don't you run around and gather up some flowers over there while your mom and I have a conversation? Don't look over here. You're going to hear some noises. We're just working with a new camera.
That didn't happen.
You read
that didn't happen.
You were on a different Angel Fire site than I. That's all.
That's true. But according to Jim, he did take three pictures of Elizabeth.
That's funny that you say that, too, because think about that. He took three photos because they're taking him on actual camera. Now we would take 3,600 photos and then never go look at them again.
Oh, my God. My wife was going through my photos the other day in my phone, which is always a disquieting experience. You're like, what did I leave in there? from a number of years ago, looking for a specific photograph. And she goes, oh, my God, in 2016, you only took 257 photographs. And I'm like, well, that seems excessive. But her point was that seems like such a small amount. I mean, that's right. So, can you imagine having taken 250 pictures, in the 80s?
right. Yeah.
Just developing cost.
Well, that's the point. Like, he only did three of them. And remember, this is the 60s, 64 specifically. So you don't get to see these photos instantaneously, and very much not instantaneously, because they probably weren't even going to 1 hours. And I don't know when that became a thing. I might be talking out of my ass there.
They also didn't have electricity yet. Don't look that up.
that's part of the black and white color switch.
I think that's when we got it. So he's wrong.
But what is true is it could take a week to get pictures developed. So, it takes a week
when we were in college. Remember that? If you didn't,
no, that's true.
Take it,
yeah, at Walgreens. The next week, Jim heads over to a photo developer, affectionately referred to as a chemist in the UK. By the way, Brent.
Wow, that's weird.
And he takes a look, and this is the part of the story that hits the proverbial record scratch.
Yeah. So the chemist points out to Jim that someone or something ruined what he believed to be the best shot of all the bunch. And he's like, there's a spaceman in the background. And I like to think to myself that Jim immediately said, what the fuck are you doing looking at my pics? There could be dick pics in there, Nigel or Sebastian or whatever British sounding name he went by.
But alas, dear listener, there were no dick pics, but instead a spaceman in the picture.
Yeah, or so it seems. So Jim, not being one to just go, nah, it's just a spaceman. He took it to the police in Carlisle, who declared that there was nothing out of the ordinary. he's like, we see space meeting photographs all the time. That's for true. Now off with you before I bop you in the seventh entrance. That was my, actually, let me redo that. We see space meeting photographs all the time.
Thank you.
Yeah. Are you from Shire?
Thank you. That get to the real accent. And by the way, I mean, I just want to stop there for a second. I know that we've covered a lot of topics over the years where authorities have not exactly been as reactive as they should have been to the story they were presented. But what the fuck do you do if somebody brings in a photo and says, look, this guy photobombed me?
Yeah. So before the word photobomb was ever a thing in my vocabulary, we called it Cusacking, because I can't remember if it was One Crazy Summer or what it was. Anyway, he wants to get a picture with a girl, so he's like walking behind her and they're taking photos, and he'll like jump up behind her and photobomb her. And I was like, so we called it Cusacking. And I actually still like that term better than photobombing, but that's just...
I do too. We'll try to adopt it here on Hysteria 51. And if you didn't listen to this episode, boy, you're going to be confused.
And I also have a buddy who got in a fist fight with John Cusack, so that's fun, but that's a different story. So
a buddy, quote unquote. So the cops didn't help, but Jim was not done. He decided to go to the experts.
Yeah, literally the experts.
The experts.
Kodak.
That's right.
Yeah.
And they said that, but now what, Kodak took him more seriously, but they did confirm it was not altered in any way. And then they put their money where their mouth was. They offered a reward to anyone who could prove the photo was faked. It was never claimed.
The reward was free film for a year. I need some of that sweet, sweet cheddar.
Why do you need free film? I mean, who even uses film nowadays? Wait a second. It's flammable, isn't it?
Don't worry, you're exact opposite of a pretty little head with it.
That checks out. Anyway, so this set
it tracks.
Off, literally, though, this set off this big media frenzy, and even a potential visit from the Men in Black. And could it be tied to the 9/11 tragedy? We'll explain all of that next. We're going to talk about all that next. I don't know if we're going to explain it, but we are going to mention those things coming up on Hysteria 51.
Nation, after years of fine print contracts and getting ripped off by overpriced wireless providers, if we've learned anything, it's that there's always a catch. So when Brent and I heard that for a limited time, all Mint Mobile wireless plans are $15 a month when you purchase a three-month plan, we thought, hey, what's the catch, baby?
I said, bring me the head of Ryan Reynolds.
He did. True story. But after talking to him, hey, it all made sense. There isn't one. Not with Mint Mobile's secret sauce. And Brent, do you want to know what the secret sauce is?
I sure want to know. I do.
They sell wireless service online.
That's it?
They don't have retail stores or salespeople. They instead deliver premium phone plans directly to you.
And this worked great for me because we were moving to a new area and they're like, hey, do you want to try this out? And you can use your own phone. And it works better than what I had. And that's amazing. I don't want to say the company I was using. I don't want to tee it up like that, but I'm just going to tell you it's been really, really, really good. And Mint Mobile here to rescue from your premium wireless. And it, like you said, it starts at $15 a month. They all come, all the plans come with high-speed data, unlimited talk and text, and that's delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. And I know if I like anything in this world, it's large. So use your phone, your own phone, that is, with any Mint Mobile plan, and bring your phone number along with your existing contacts and all your pics that you scream at people when they start flipping through them, and you say, oh, don't give me my phone back. And then you can ditch overpriced wireless with Mint Mobile's limited time deal and get 3 months of premium wireless service for $15 a month.
Nice. So to get this new customer offer and your new three-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 redos a month, go to mintmobile.com/hysteria. That's mintmobile.com/HYSTERIA. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/hysteria. $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first three-month plan only. Speed slower, but 40 gigs on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
John, like all good mysteries, yes, this one deepens.
It does.
It too.
So we've got an intergalactic photobomb hands, but
clue. You stop. We've got an intergalactic Cusacking that just went on.
We've got an intergalactic Cusacking on our hands, but no clue as to who is in the picture or what is really happening.
Or interdimensional, don't pigeonhole the guy. Or girl.
Well, man, look at him. He's covering all the bases. He's being inclusive.
Yeah, I don't know. What's happening right now?
But just because of all that being said, that didn't stop the ensuing media frenzy that we talked about. The local paper, the Cumberland News Picayune, it wasn't a Picayune, but they did pick up the story, as did the Daily Mail and the Express. The Express, that's a fine periodical. I'll say that myself. they talk about podcasts that are just tasty shows, John, don't you think so?
I couldn't agree more. I mean, if you want a good example of that, I would just maybe Google the Express and Hysteria 51, see what that got you.
So anyway, as a result of the media attention from just the local stuff, Jim started getting letters from people everywhere, and like people like to do, they give their take on who or what was in the photo. And some folks thought that maybe his daughter had some sort of psychic abilities, because that is the logical jump when you see something like that.
Of course.
Yeah.
In fact, a local professor from a private school was consulted and Chuck said, nope, she's just a normie.
I think that was an X-Men joke, John.
He's all over the map today.
I'm not saying it was a good one, but I think it was an X-Men joke.
So, Brent, the same time that this is going on, the story also takes on a life of its own in the media, not just locally, as you mentioned, but worldwide.
Right.
And a bunch of other suggestions came in, like there might have been a spirit in the photograph.
Spirit photography. Hey, all right.
Yeah, yeah.
Firing on all cylinders.
The most interesting one of the time comes in, and it's from, let's call him, The Australian.
Yeah. He probably had a name like Chip. I don't know what Australians call themselves. I'm just going with that. I don't know. It really, though, it does blow my mind how stuff like this, like a photo or anything that seems mundane, takes on a life of its own and really captures the public attention for a time. And this is a time when we're not on the internet passing this around. This was just something that, you know, got on the wire and got spread around the planet.
Yeah, yeah. So let's talk about The Australian. A technician working on the Blue Streak missile project reached out to Jim.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the Blue Streak was Britain's contribution to the space race, if you aren't familiar with it. It first launched in 1964 at the Woomera test site in South Australia. The Blue Streak project performed as planned for 11 successful launches. Mm-hmm. I mean, rockets rarely achieve that kind of clean record in the early stages of development.
Or even now.
Back then, or even, yeah, 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 exactly, even now. But here's the kicker. There was one scuttled launch, Brent.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, there was.
A goddamn wallaby got on the test range, didn't it?
Not this time.
Oh, it was I don't know.
A dingo?
Drop bear, maybe? Dingo. Dingo Walla. Ate my rocket.
No, the Australian that we were referring to, and I'm going to go with the name Paul. So let's say Paul from the Woomera test site, I made that up, by the way, said that they were about to test the Blue Streak, and he saw two of those figures, those exact figures from the Solway Firth photo at the missile site, and they had to delay the launch because of
it. Do you guys see two guys in white next to the rocket? What? Shit. You got to think, like, and this really happened, where someone's like, what the fuck is going on? Also of note, that incident happened the same day that Jim snapped the picture, or they happened days apart, depending on which source you believe. But I like to think they happened the same day. So that's what we're going with on Hysteria 51. I put my foot down on the big things.
One thing I'd like to note, I believe that the folks at Woomera were wrong. They thought they were seeing the Solway Firth spaceman. They said there's two of them. It was actually Daft Punk who time traveled to come play.
That actually makes sense. Because everyone knows they go around the world, around the world.
Yes! I set it up and you knocked it down. I'm so proud of you, Brent.
I don't know if pride is what should be thrown at me at that point in time, but keep going. Though, seriously, though, speaking of coming in twos, there was another Blue Streak test site that was just a few miles away from the marsh where Jim snapped this photo.
Which is really interesting, but you scared me with that setup. You really scared me with that setup. I didn't know where you were going, but okay. We're staying on track.
Also of note, robot.
We're not staying on track. All right, but the weirdness didn't stop there, Brent. It did not.
True.
Jim said that he then got an interesting visit. Two people, they claimed to be government officials.
Yeah. Now, what part of the government did they work for? You didn't ask? Well, I'm glad to tell you anyway. They wouldn't say.
They didn't say.
Nope. Or offer any other further details whatsoever than, we come from the government and we're here to talk to you. What were they wearing is a next logical question.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm assuming board shorts and a tank top.
As all 1960s government officials did, but unfortunately they broke the code. They were dressed like classic men in black. They had the black suits and ties. Now, I didn't hear that they had pale white skin and rosy red lips.
Ruby red lips.
Oh, man, ruby
get it right.
Red. That's right. I've just fucked this whole podcast. I quit.
Should we start? All right. Welcome in, Hysteria Nation.
Here's the thing, and here's the next super weird quinky dink that people love to latch on. Jim said they referred to each other by number, not name. And a BBC article from 2014 said that those numbers were what? 9 and 11. Stop at C-Bot. That one might have actually been on.
Yeah, couple things to point out here. Obviously, the tie is loosed on this one. It's worth noting the reason we pointed it out. The numbers were reported by the BBC, so it didn't come from the Angel Fire website. But again, even the BBC can only report what they learn or what they're told. Yeah. So garbage in, garbage out.
Wonderful term.
Or a crazy tie. Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, yeah.
I suppose.
So what do they want, though? The thing with the Men in Black, though, is they always come in, they say they work for the government, they won't tell you why, and they're very stern. And this case is no different than all the others that we've talked about, and they asked to be taken to the exact location the picture was taken at. So I hate this term, but I will use it here because I do think it fits. It was a different time. That time, you kind of did trust the governments a little bit more. So if someone came and said that, you're like, yeah, okay, I'll go with you. Now, it's not right after the war when the love affair that people had with military and governments was at all-time high, if you're in the right country.
No, you're right, though. This was 1964 was really pre-loss of innocence. Like,
exactly.
You know, the loss of innocence, which is referred to by so many historians, you know, comes with the assassination of Kennedy and then the litany of other assassinations, whether it be Martin Luther King Jr., RFK, and so on down the line. And then Watergate, all of that came post Solway Firth Spaceman.
Mm-hmm.
Other than Kennedy.
You're right. You're right. So they said, take us there. And he takes him there and then explained how he hadn't actually seen the photo. He hadn't seen the figure when he took the photo. And he said they got pissed and left, and they left him there, and he had to walk all the way home.
I mean, that is not your tax dollars hard at work. You can't even get a ride home.
Which is weird, because he usually doesn't stand for baloney.
He won't, you know. He doesn't stand for baloney.
That's, thank you, weird science. Also a point, though, Jim says he didn't believe them to be agents at all. He thought they were phonies. Here's a quote from saying, it all looks like a leg pull to me. I'm sure the men were not security agents. So that's a weird thing to say, but I went ahead and took them anyway.
Yeah.
And they left me.
Though I will say most of the time in these stories, when someone says, I don't think they were agents at all, the subsequent statement is, I think they were aliens, interdimensional travelers, time travelers,
right.
Not fakes.
And one thing that we talked about in the Men in Black story is this is when that was a hot button. And I wondered if that was something that people did do to cause a ruckus a little bit, was fake being Men in Black possibly. So, you know, that was one of the things we talked about in that episode and stuff. And this kind of could fit the bill, or they were legitimate agents and they did their job. He didn't believe it.
Or they're legitimate agents and they're trying to obfuscate who they are.
Exactly.
So they wear that on purpose. Yeah.
Everyone knows a good agent, really any agent worth his salt, can obfuscate with the best of them.
All right, stop it. A lot going on in this picture, kids. Something's going on in the background. It's humanoid. We don't know what it is. But when we come back, we will try to explore.
Yeah, we're going to try. That's next on Hysteria 51. All right. So, John, here it is. Moments of truth. Moments, because we're not going to just take one. Just cracking my knuckles here. Yeah.
It's a choose your own adventure, as you'd like to say.
What the hell was it? Well, that list is long and distinguished. But the first one I think that we got to talk about is exactly what it looked like. An earthbound spaceman. Just boom.
Right. So,
it's so easy.
It's a space person of the time.
Because calling it a man, even leaving out the gender part, we don't know. It could have been anything.
That's true. Of the time, though, just somehow, some way, somebody in a full space regalia wandered off site and into Jim's photograph.
Right. You know, and I'll be damned. They didn't see him because who would even notice a man dressed like that walking around until it was too late next to a firth on a marsh. So the next one, and this is a fun one. I think we got to talk about this because of its location and stuff, is one of those damn extraterrestrials. A real, honest-to-goodness alien, close to a missile test site. It's close to nuclear power plants. You put two together, what do you get, John? You got a big red X on the marsh right there.
Yeah, like you said, I mean, we already touched on the missile test site that was close to it. Right across the firth was a nuclear power plant. So, I mean, like, two big, you know, kind of beacons for, if you look throughout the history of sightings, extraterrestrial activity.
Right, right. It's, I'm surprised they weren't up in the air shutting down power and siphoning up water and all the other shit that you hear in these stories. Now, the next one I actually really like, and it kind of ticks off a few of the boxes, because no one saw this. Jim says he didn't see it. His wife says he didn't see it. Elizabeth didn't see it. It was an interdimensional traveler, and for some reason, Kodak, or Jim, or his daughter, or just the way the wind was blowing the skirts up that day, made it able to be seen. Or maybe it wasn't there, it was just a doorway was somehow open, and it got a picture into another dimension, or that traveler was there.
Or does Kodak have some technology that we're even unaware of, and they accidentally sold that camera to Jim, when really it was meant for the government?
Hey Greg, where's that Chronovisor I sat here to sell? No, that I sold it to that gym guy. Shit, we gotta get that back, man.
We got problems. We got major problems.
We got a code 16. Where are the other 15?
Hey, call agents 9 and 11. Get them out there.
We got cleanup duty in the firth.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, all right. So the next, you mentioned that one was a fun one for you. A fun one for me is the next one, a time traveler. Because think about it. All right. First, the suit doesn't look like space people of the time, spacemen of the time. And if it's a time traveler, and let's just say that Jim is correct in the fact that when he looked around mere milliseconds before pushing that button, there was no figure in the frame.
Yeah.
If that's true, perhaps a time traveler is racing through the eons and takes a quick pause in 1964, whether by hook or by crook, whatever the reason, maybe the time crystal, you know, got a little crack in it, or, you know, whatever, the machine.
Ziggy didn't have
break.
The stuff programmed in right for him.
Yeah, exactly. Or so he's there for mere maybe milliseconds, but just enough time to be photographed with the little girl holding the flowers.
Man, I feel like Kovac is oozing in when he's not even here.
He's been channeled.
Yeah.
So there's no reason to believe that entire story I just wove. I just enjoy it.
There's no reason not to. Prove it wrong.
Prove me wrong. That's right. As a time traveler pops up and is on mic.
Right. Jeez it. So now, though, we've kind of talked about the fun ones, the crazy ones. Get into a little bit of the more meh, but plausible, believable,
right,
or right, completely false, and we're just poo-pooing on it, however you want to look at it. But one of the things that people have talked about is it was another person out on the marsh that just stepped into the picture. One of the retirees, the pensioners, another person he didn't know was wandering around. And the reason that they say that is kind of possible is the viewfinder on that older Kodak that he was using kills your perception, your view. You only get like 70%
your peripheral vision.
Yeah. So there was a whole lot of stuff that he couldn't have seen, including a lot of the stuff that was in the photo. So that is one of the things that people talk about.
The biggest challenge I have with that is I understand how that would preclude you from noticing at that moment. But if somebody else was in the picture, you would know that they were within mere feet of your child.
Right. So that is, yeah, if it wasn't the three of them.
Right. If it wasn't one of the three of them. Right. Before the photo, after the photo, you're going to see this extra person somehow being that close.
Would you like to buy some Amway? Get the fuck out of here, man. Like, what are you doing? So then the next one. So let's just, we're going to come back to that other person idea, but the next one is one that we have to talk about. Could have been a fake. And one of the reasons that a lot of people throw that around is Jim was an avid photographer. And depending on who you talk to, some even say that he had created a fake 5-pound note a few weeks before using photography.
Right. So evidence that at least once he had created a fake of something, right, using photography.
Now, there is a big go F yourself on those people, because if you remember, Kodak said, that is a legit photo that has not been tampered with, and we'll pay you if you can, or we'll reward you if you can prove it wrong.
Well, and along those lines, Brent, another reason people give for this photo existing is it was a mistake. It wasn't a fake or a forgery on purpose, but rather, you know, two photos were somehow double exposed together. Mm-hmm. But the same explanation applies that you just gave. If it was a mistake, if there was somehow something wrong happened in the developing process, the chemist screwed up somehow, whatever it is, Kodak, again, they said no, it was legitimate.
Time out. Say what you want about the rocket scientists in the area. Say what you want about Jim, who was an avid photographer. Say what you want about Kodak. Say what you want about the alleged men in black. Don't talk shit about a chemist, because that is someone that they take the job seriously, John.
They do. I mean, you have to breathe those chemicals in all day.
Such a fucking hassle to take and pick up back then. Those people they had their finger on the pulse or the vein.
Some people love that smell, that photo developer smell.
You're going to like penis from dick pic. I didn't know what you're going with here. So keep going. Photo developer smell?
Yeah, the development, the liquid they use to develop photos. Some people love that smell, and some people hate it.
A lot of people don't realize this. It's baby blood. Baby blood. That's why they've gone to digital.
Interesting. I was not aware of that. Mm. All right, Brent. Brent, there is there's one left.
There's the big one, and yeah, this one is one that Jim has fought against for, well, till his. He passed away in 2011, I believe it was, but the one that they say, the ruling answer, the most believed, I would say, by people out there, and if you look it up on the skeptic sites, they explain it way very easily.
It was Bigfoot. Oh, wait, no, that's not where you're going. Okay,
it
go
was
ahead.
Jim's wife. Remember, the three of them are there. Now, Jim always argued his wife was definitely behind him when he took the photo. But there's a lot of people that have looked at this photo, and there are other photos of the day. Remember, they took three of them, and Jim's wife had on a dress, and it was blue. But because of that Kodak and where the sun was, it washes it out and makes it very, very white looking. So there's a ufologist named David Clark, and he goes on with this theory about how it was Jim's wife. And here's a quote that he gave BBC that they use in an article. One of the other stills taken that day shows Jim's wife, who, according to him, was standing behind him when he took the photo of Elizabeth. I think for some reason his wife walked into the shot and he didn't see her because of this particular make of camera. You could only see 70% of what was in the shot through the viewfinder. That's something we talked about. Now, regardless, until his death, he never changed his story.
One other thing on that, Brent. You mentioned one of the other photos showed the wife wearing the dress that could easily mm-hmm. be washed out, et cetera. What I could not find in the research I did, maybe you did, and we didn't talk about this before the show. Could you find anywhere a copy of the third photo?
No, I didn't. And the other two are readily available, like everywhere.
Yeah, it feels like people have mentioned this in the past as if this is part of the conspiracy in some way. Whether it be a benign conspiracy, he faked it and or knows it's his wife and that third photo kind of helps prove that out, or, you know, a more malevolent conspiracy of we see even more of the spaceman, the time traveler, the whatever, and we learn more and it, you know, that couldn't be circulated.
Right. Right. Well, you know, the thing of it is, we don't have it. I don't, and maybe we're just dominoes right there. Page two of the results. So fuck that. It's lost to the ages. But
correct.
Clark took the photo that we do have that has the spaceman, and he just took he messed with the contrast and just made it a little darker. And you realize when you look at it, Now, the only thing done to it was they just changed like the tinting, you know, the contrast. It looks like his wife standing behind her with her back to her. Looks like her hair, looks like her dress, and it is a very convincing theory that that is what happened. And it was just
now before we give our thoughts, our theories. The one thing I'll say about, because I've said, you actually sent it to me, the kind of the here we're gonna use Photoshop to prove out our point photo. The one thing I'll say negatively towards that, and I'm not saying this happened, is, you know, when you start playing with colors that weren't originally there, or that you can't discern from the actual negative, you know, now you're creating your own story at that point. You know, you're guessing as to what it was. You are not telling what it was. Now, it's a plausible guess, but it's worth noting that just because you go ahead and project that color and that and how you perceive the elbow to bend and those things of that nature, that's not on the original. That is you
now, do
projecting
remember this,
your
so they
opinion
They didn't
on
change
it.
The colors. They just changed the contrast because it's such a washed out photo. But I agree. But we're also talking about, could it have been his wife and she's washed out, or a time traveling spaceman who was in Australia also at the time? And people are like, quit making up your goddamn story. Everyone knows it was Gleek Glack. You know, like, it just seems funny.
Well, I mean, it's obvious. It was the time traveling spaceman, and know that he needed to be in Australia at the same time because that was two of them. It was the other members of the party. Get it right,
that's true.
Brent.
It was a trio, maybe even.
Yeah. Or, you know, they never synchronize the exact moments.
You've never been in an 80s action movie. They always synchronize their watches.
Say, It's true.
Synchronize your watches. I don't know what this means, but okay.
I'm not even going to finish the joke now. You stepped all over it.
I didn't know you were making a joke about synchronizing watches.
Let's go back to the tape. C-Bot? No. Okay,
if it was my name.
All right, Brent, what do you think it was?
I really think it's his wife. Just plain and simple. It's fun to think of what it could be, and I think that Kodak was probably right there. There was nothing hanky-panky or tomfoolery going on or any other weird terminology. It was probably just his wife that had stepped into it. And do you notice that the wife never really talked about it? It was just Jim. Neither did his daughter.
Well, I mean, it's the 60s and they're women. So, you know, could they vote yet? It's a joke. Everybody calm down. Complete joke. I don't mean that.
We do need to end women's suffrage. It is way past time to knock that crap off.
No, you know what, though? Honestly, everyone listening, he wasn't trying to be offensive there. He's so stupid, he doesn't know what the word means. In all seriousness, you are right. You are right that you don't read quotes from her in the research you do. She's probably the smart one of the group that decided to stay quiet about it.
Damn it, like, Jim! Stop talking to the press! I made us dinner. It's got gelatin and a whole bunch of cold meat. It's 1964. Come in here. I'm wearing a dress patterned after what you would eat at a fucking picnic. My hair has so much Aquanet in it, we now have an extra hole in the ozone. It's 1964, Jim, just in case you're forgetting. Jim!
She really got violent there.
Jim! All of our appliances are of a green tint, Jim. There's a goddamn spaceman, but all my appliances are avocado. Jim, I need new plastic for the furniture, Jim. It's 1964, in case you've forgotten since the last time I reminded you. Stop talking to the press! We need to change the points, plugs, and wires in our car. Did you add lead to the gas, Jim? You know, it doesn't like to run without lead. It's 1964, Jim.
Check the fuse box. No, we don't have breakers. It's 1964. Oh.
Is the milkman came yet, Jim? It's 1964. That's the way it went. That's the way I remember it.
You know, people call this podcast a little too history-based and research-based every now and then. They refer to us as Historia 51, and I, I think that last, 60 seconds or so is proof positive that they are right.
Oh, man, I tell ya.
Hey, you didn't ask me what I thought.
You're right, I didn't. So where can they hear about the show, John? Yeah, what is your... No, for real, though, where are you at on this?
Stack ranked in order. Number one, his wife. Number two, time traveler.
Number one, his wife. Number two, God himself. One or the other. Like,
I mean, it's a coin flip to me. Maybe 51-49, yeah. But...
Yeah, it's a fun one. And you know what? No one's getting hurt on this one. That's what's nice. Nothing bad happened.
It is. It's a fun story. It's a fun thing to wonder about. Mm-hmm. And as you said, the conjecture doesn't hurt anyone except for lovers of the year 1964. Nation, if you want to tell us what you think, I would suggest you go to our Facebook discussion group, Hysteria Nation. Just log on to Facebook and search Hysteria Nation.
That's right. Also, while you're logging on to Facebook, jump on Facebook.com/Hysteria51Pod and give us a like on there. That is our Facebook page, Hysteria51 at Patreon. That's Patreon.com/Hysteria51. You can find lots of other episodes, links to Up All Nights and radio dramas, and you can get pictures and pins and stickers and hand-drawn pictures of the
monster. You spend enough, I bet Brent would send his leftover crickets to you.
Funny you say that. They are going to whoever wins at this point in time when it comes out. It'll have already been announced. Whoever wins the video contest, making the new video out of the one I posted without any audio, and they can add.
Oh, no, I meant the crickets that you had just licked the outside of.
Oh, when I just wanted the flavoring,
off.
But I didn't want to get the...
Yeah.
The, what is... What are they called? The drumsticks and shit all over?
The drumsticks. Yeah. Oh, boy. And by the way, Nation, we haven't done a good job lately of playing voicemail, so we'll get back to that in a few weeks. But if you want to leave us a voicemail, 773-669-7277. That is 773-669-7277. And I got to tell you, the amount of voicemails we're receiving nowadays... We used to say we'll play anything, and we will play anything, but we're not going to play everything because there's not enough time. Like, we could play them 365 days a year. I don't think we'd get through all of them.
It's hard for us to play when we're in quarantine because of syncing up, and we got to do a mix-minus setup and all this stuff, and it's a pain in the butt. So when we are back together, that's when we're going to be playing them and chugging through the massive pile of them. Keep them coming.
Yep. That's it. So keep them coming and bring your A game, or at least bring your C game. Yeah. I think that'd be good enough.
773-669-7277. Again, 773-669-7277. And if you forget any of that, gofopedia.com or hysteria51.com. Tell a friend you love them. And give us some love on IMDb, because they just added Hysteria 51 to IMDb, John. We're on there.
Are we making a movie?
We're making moves. That's what I'm saying.
We're making... Yeah. My future's so bright.
My future's so bright, shades. I gotta take photos of a spaceman. I don't even know what that means, but that's what I'm gonna be doing. So yeah, John.
It's probably a good place.
We're still in quarantine. It's June. That's our life right now. I remember what society
was. You sound like you
was.
Need a hug. You sound like you need a hug.
You know what? We're recording. My wife is having, I'm pretty sure, a drink in the backyard. She's not even up here helping out with the show, and I'm a little bit jealous.
Do we have to adjust that that title to like assistant producer, Lisa?
Oh no, she's just not. I mean, who? You know how that goes. I mean, it's 1964.
That's right.
We don't even
exactly.
Have to say thank you. It's just expected.
Yeah, that actually wasn't you guessing as to what his wife Elizabeth sounded like. That was you just mimicking producer Lisa.
Right, exactly. That's exactly like to a T what she sounds like at all times. Except for she has Vienna sausage juice on her fingers or something, you know. But otherwise, exactly the same. So that has been the Soloway Firth Spaceman, or what was the other
Cumberland Spaceman.
The Cumberland Spaceman, if you nasty. Not as fun of a name. Solway Firth Spaceman is my go-to for spacemen. So with that said, I've been Brent.
I've been John Cumberland.
He's been Conspiracy Bot.
Stay woke, meat sex.
It was terrible. It was just terrible. I'll never get over it as long as I live.
That's it for another edition of Hysteria 51. John and Brent will be back next week with yet more of the unexplained, the unexplored, and the unheard of. Oh, if it's unheard of, how will they know about it? Anyway, if you want to suggest a topic, give us your thoughts, or just make fun of Conspiracy Bot, that's my favourite, join us in our Facebook discussion group, Hysteria Nation. Just log on to Facebook and search Hysteria Nation, or you can always tweet us at Hysteria51Pod.
You've been listening to a Fourth Hand Joint.
Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.